comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here. I think you will be, too. We're here because you have a right to know, and we're here because you matter. Out there, you know, each and every day, there are all kinds of things happening to us that sort of tend to make it appear to us, that the world is saying we don't matter. Well, the world is lying. You do matter to the entire cosmos, and we want to remind you about that each and every night here at this show. It is one place where you can always know you matter. Tonight is K-Files night. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and here at the Kevin Smith Show, when we say free, we really mean free, no strings attached. So if you're not receiving the K-Files, then you need to subscribe, and it's very easy to do. It's absolutely free. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and right in the middle of the screen, you will see the word K-Files. Just click where it says K-Files. And subscribe. It only asks one question, and that's your email address. And then you're automatically, right then and there, going to receive a confirmation email with a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. So activate it, and then you'll get this edition of the K-Files. All right? That's a pretty good deal. If you don't activate it, you won't get it. All right? So it's important that you do that. Let me remind you that we have a fantastic members area. It's always free to listen to this show. It always has been. 11 years it's been free, and you get to listen to the whole show for free. But we have something above and beyond that that you really ought to be a part of. You really are missing out if you're not a part of it. And that is our members area. In the members area, you will find, first of all, you get to watch the show, and a lot of times, you know, I put pictures up on our TV channel, and that's in the members area. I put pictures up about the things we're talking about, and later I get email from people saying, can you send me the links to those? The link is the join link right there where it says join on our menu. And you'll get to see them live. How about that? And very often when we show those pictures, it also in text has the link where you can find them. Not always, but and when we don't, it's because usually it's one of those links that's 4 miles long. But usually there's a link there. But you get to watch the show. You get chat. You get your own blog page. You can share your thoughts and ideas through your blog. You also get your friends page, your photo gallery. And in the new members community that's coming up, you also will be able to upload your video clips that you want to share with the members community. So you want to join. It's only $6.95 a month. Come on, that's one trip to Starbucks for the month. All right. We're going to step away, and we shall return right after this. All right, Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And tonight we've got lots and lots of stuff to talk about that I think is going to be pretty interesting for all of us. One of the things we're going to talk about is NASA shooting itself in the foot. To their credit, by the way, it's not a criticism, but nevertheless, they have shot themselves in the foot. First, let me do this. I had to be away yesterday, and so you had an encore presentation, and it is good to be back at the mic tonight. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here. All right, earthquake. There was an earthquake today, actually this afternoon, I believe, at 175 miles west of Vancouver, British Columbia, 6.4 on the Richter scale. No damage in the city, and buildings were swaying, but no damage, no injuries reported. There were some people that were in some of the high-rise buildings that said they felt, dizzy and disoriented. Others said they didn't feel anything. So some people are very sensitive to that, and some people are not sensitive to it. But it's a good thing. Good thing there were no reports of damage or injuries. The earthquake, the epicenter of this earthquake, was on a minor fault line. It was not on the Cascadia subduction zone. It was a minor fault line. And they said that the reason there was no tsunami warning and no danger is because instead of an up and down shifting of this fault line, it was a sideways slippage of the fault line. And they said this happens pretty frequently, actually, and that, this is not anything major. All right, the UFO news feed. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about this, and some of you, I know, because some of you send me email and you're not very happy when I talk about it. I have to say the email that people send me and express that they're not very happy when I talk about it generally is very polite, and they're just expressing their view, and that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. What is it? Well, it is freedom of speech. On my website, If you are a frequent visitor to my website, you know this. On my website, there are, in the left column and in the right column, there are news articles, headlines, that you can click and read those articles. There's a news feed also for the Kevin Smith Show YouTube videos. So you can click on those and watch those videos at YouTube. But the rest of them, it's news. One of them is stuff that I write. It's called the KSS Report. But then we have one, had one, that said UFO news. One is paranormal news, and one is NASA news. Everything has just been working fine, no problem, until today, when what to my wondering eyes did appear but an error message that said UFO news is not here. Now, the way this works, it's just a script that goes out to Google, does a search for UFO, aggregates those into an RSS feed, and lists the titles for you so you can click on them and read them. And it said there's no such RSS feed at Google. Well, there has been. You've been seeing it every day. Every day. So I thought, well, there's something, I don't know how, but something has messed up with the script. So I went to the program that I use that generates these scripts, and I generated a new one. I pasted it in and tested it. Same result. No UFO RSS feed at Google. That's what the error message says. There's no such feed. Yesterday there was. Today there is not. So I said to myself, well, okay, self, well, we'll just get it from Yahoo. So I generated the code to get it from Yahoo. Same error message. No UFO RSS feed. So I generated one for BBC. Same thing. So I thought, well, okay, maybe the deal is that my program here is not working right for some reason. So I generated a code for Planet X at Google, pasted it in, bang, just like that, we got Planet X, Elenine, Nibiru. But UFO is no longer permitted as an RSS feed at Google and Yahoo, apparently. It was yesterday. Today, it's not. Don't you find that just a little bit curious? I mean, we've been hearing about how the U.S. military and the U.S. intelligence services want more control over the Internet. And folks, they've got tons of control over the Internet right now. So it's okay for you. It's all right. It's quite all right for you to read about Elenine because they say it disintegrated. So, okay, go ahead and read about it. Planet X, because they say that's a myth. Okay, go ahead and read about it. UFOs, forget it. Now, if you go to Google and you do a search for it, you just type in UFO, you'll find articles. But what's not being allowed is aggregating those into a news feed to put them out on other websites. Pretty curious. Well, I wrote an article about it. I encourage you to read it. To read it, you just go to my website, scroll down, go down past tonight, the picture about tonight's show, go down past the pictures of the ebooks that you can purchase on our site, and right under that, there's an article that's entitled A Curious Phenomenon. You might ought to read that. Another interesting thing in the news is NASA has declared a no-fly zone for certain areas around on the surface of the moon. Not only is it a no-fly zone, they are no land zones, don't land here, and they are don't walk here. Do you remember the show that I did earlier this week about about how NASA is now, after 40 years, releasing photographs of the landing sites of some of the Apollo missions? Do you remember that show? And do you remember I asked the question, why now? After 40 years, why now? And do you remember that I said that the big question here is, where are the pictures of all the rest of the landing sites? They showed us three. There's three more. Where are those pictures? Well, the no-walk zone is pretty big. So if anybody lands there, NASA says, we don't want you to get within, I think it's 275 meters of the landing zone of Apollo 11 or Apollo 17. Now, ostensibly, this is because these are such historic sites. This is the first manned mission to the moon, Apollo 11, and then the last manned mission, Apollo 17. So those are historic sites. Don't walk there. And on the surface of it, we could say, okay, well, we can understand that. They can't enforce this no-fly zone. They can't enforce the no-landing zone. They can't enforce the no-walking zone. And they know it. And they admit it. But they're asking the other nations to stay away from these. And by the way, don't even get your satellites down below a certain level. Now, that is what is curious. Don't even let your satellites get down below a certain level because they might contaminate the area with spent rocket fuel and maybe even bacteria and stuff, and we don't want it contaminated. Don't let your satellites get down low. You know, there might be a reason for that. One of the pictures that they released is a picture of the Apollo 17 site. Have you looked at it? Go look at it. In that site, in that picture, you will see where they have marked the final resting place of the rover. You know, the moon buggy. Now, the way that picture is laid out, the way it, you see it there, you have the actual landing module where it landed. And then way away from it, over on the edge of the picture, way over there, is the rover. Why would you drive all that way over there? You know what else is interesting? You can barely see the rover tracks leading from the landing module over to where the rover is. They have marked on that same picture very clearly, they have a track marked and they say that's astronauts' footprints. And you can see that. It moves on the picture from the landing module to the left out to where they put some experimental equipment. And it says those are astronaut footprints. And you can see that. You know what you don't see? You don't see any tracks from the rover going back to the landing module. If they drove it over there and left it, which is pretty curious, why would you leave it over there? Why wouldn't you drive it back to the module or near the module where you're going to have to get in it and blast off and go up back up to the Apollo capsule? Why would you leave it way over there and walk back? That's pretty interesting. But if you did it, where's the footprints? We see the footprints on the other parts of the photograph. That's what they say they are. Where are the footprints from that rover? Now, look at it with an inquisitive mind and ask the questions that jump off the page. And then zoom in on the rover. When you zoom in on that rover, if that's a rover, somebody bombed that thing. You can zoom in on the landing module and tell pretty clearly what you're looking at. You zoom in on that rover, and it looks like it's been bombed. I mean, it doesn't even look like a machine. Now, I accept that it is the rover. The reason I accept it is I can see the very faint tracks of the wheels coming from the landing module. Actually, they come from the landing module. They kind of come down and then over, way over to the edge of the picture. So I accept that's the rover. But look at it. And there's no footprints back to the landing module. Why would you drive it over there, get out of it, and say, all right, let's walk the half mile back, or however far it was. I don't know how far it was, but it looks like it's a good distance. So why would you leave it over there and walk all the way back to the landing module? And how could you do it? How could you do that and not leave footprints that can be seen by the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter? It sees the other footprints, if those indeed are footprints, and they mark it on the picture and say those are footprints. So it sees those. Where are the ones coming from the rover back to the landing module? They had to get from there back to the landing module in order to take off, right? Well, I don't draw any conclusions from it. I don't know. I'm just saying, those are some very mysterious features of those pictures. And now there's a no-fly zone, no landing, no walking, and don't even get your satellite down very close here. We want you to keep your satellites above a certain altitude. Wonder why? speaking of satellites, the UARS satellite is going to fall back to Earth late September, early October. Right around that same time when Comet Elenine is supposed to be passing through here. So we'll be watching the skies for that. You don't want to get hit by a falling refrigerator. All right. Let's talk about something really mysterious. You think that it's mysterious, the stuff about the moon? It is. It is very mysterious, this stuff about the moon, about those pictures, about the no-fly zone. And don't get your satellite down too close. All very mysterious. In fact, it's so mysterious, it's worthy of a movie or two or a book or two. I mean, this there are people saying this ought to stop all the conspiracy theories about the moon hoax. Oh, nonsense. Nonsense. That's an example of NASA shooting themselves in the foot right there again. Giving us these pictures. One of them includes the mysterious situation with the moon buggy way away from the landing module and no footprints. And it looks like it's been bombed. That's a mystery. And then they tell all the other nations, hey, don't fly over that. And if you do, don't get down too close with your satellite. Well, that is a mystery. But if you think all that stuff is mysterious, let's talk about something NASA really doesn't like to talk about. Something that every time it's come up, NASA has shut up really fast. It's called Planet X. Some people think that Planet X is the same thing as Nibiru. Nibiru, of course, is the name of a planet that we know about from Zechariah Sitchin, who says that he knows about it from the Sumerians. There are people who think Zechariah Sitchin's translations are right on target, and there are people who think Zechariah Sitchin made it all up. That's normal. That's just the way it is. That's the kind of world we live in. But is Planet X the same as Nibiru? And why doesn't NASA want to talk about it? We'll be back right after this.
Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am Kevin Smith, and we're talking about NASA shooting themselves in the foot once again. Ladies and gentlemen, in this case, I want to congratulate them for this, and I'm certainly not deriding them for it, but I don't think they even realize they did it. But they have. Planet X and Nibiru have become sort of associated together, but for the sake of discussion right at this moment, I'm simply going to refer to Planet X. Now, back in 1983, the chief scientist for the IRAS, I-R-A-S, satellite spoke to the press and said, "We found something huge out there. And don't know what it is yet, but it's huge." And, you know, he said it's part of our solar system. And, you know, all we have to do now is name it, but it's huge. And that was reported by, it was either the Washington Times or the Washington Post. It was picked up by a few newspapers around the country, but not too many. And by the next day, NASA was backtracking on that. People were talking about how that was Planet X, and NASA was backtracking on it, fast and furious. And there have been no other statements about that since 1983 by NASA. Now, there have been a lot of statements about it on shows like this one. They, you know, we talk about it, we examine it, people are interested in it, we talk about, we read that press conference, and people are highly interested in it, but NASA has had nothing else to say on it. All right, now, there have been recently, fairly recently, within the last few months, there have been statements from NASA scientists very similar, that they have found a, well, CNN reported it as a brown dwarf that is coming this way. And it's huge. It's, I think they said, four times the size of Jupiter. All right. But again, you know, there hasn't been much ripple on the water about it, and NASA's not talking much about it. One of the favorite things that happens when anyone from NASA shows up as a debunker on you know, shows where they're talking about this sort of thing. You have someone from, we shall say, our side of the fence that presents all this evidence, all this information and evidence that shows that there is something out there and that it's very, very large and that it is having an effect on other planets. And then the debunker from NASA, whoever it may be, one of the favorite things that they say is, look, there are astronomers all over the world. And there are amateur astronomers all over the world. If it were out there, you know, it would please us to be able to announce the discovery. Nothing would make me happier than to be able to announce the discovery. Maybe they would name it after me, the guy would say. I mean, that's the way this sort of thing goes, right? But, you know, if it was out there, all of these people looking through telescopes every night would have by now seen it. And the fact is, it's just not there. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Now, I haven't used that in quite the same way. I've asked the question, as we've talked about, you know, I've had guests on that equate Planet X with Nibiru. And they talk about how Nibiru is incoming. It's in our solar system now. I mean, that's what the guests say. And I've asked the question, well, why can't we see it yet? But I don't go beyond that and say, because we can't see it, it must not be there. Now, I want to do a little experiment with you. I want you to think about this, and this will help you understand why the fact that you can't see it means nothing. It really means zero. It's of zero importance. Now, let me do the little experiment with you. Have you ever heard of oxygen? I think most of you have. Everybody in the audience I know has heard of oxygen, right? Have you ever seen it? No, you haven't. Now, I did this in 2007, and I got some hot responses in email. Where people were saying, well, of course we know there's oxygen. When you breathe in, you can feel it. No, you don't. You don't feel oxygen. You feel air molecules. If that was methane, you would feel it. You haven't seen oxygen. You've never seen oxygen. And you're not likely ever to see oxygen. So how do we know that there is oxygen? Well, we know that there is something that causes metal to rust. And scientists have been able to determine that that is a substance that they have named oxygen. Okay? I mean, they could have named it anything. They could have called it flammaflige. And that's what we would all call it. I mean, there's nothing intrinsic about it that makes it oxygen. Oxygen's a name that was given to it by scientists. That's it. But we know that whatever it is, it's there. It has an effect on metal. We don't notice its effect on us unless we don't get it. If you don't get oxygen, you notice it right away. You notice that you need it, and you notice its effects right away. Pilots of airplanes, when they get above 10,000 feet, if they're not in a pressurized cabin, have to put on an oxygen mask. If they don't, what happens is it's very similar to becoming intoxicated, and then they eventually pass out, and of course the results are tragic after that. So we see the results of oxygen. We see its effect. We observe its effects on us. We observe its effects on metal. We measure its effects on other elements and chemicals. When you add oxygen to this, what happens? When you take oxygen out of that, what happens? So we can measure the effects that it has, if it's present or not present. But you've never seen it. And you're never going to see it. So is there oxygen? Or shall we say, well, with over 6 billion people living on the planet, surely if there was oxygen, someone would have seen it by now. Get the point? NASA has released information that is absolutely astounding. It is information that shoots them in the foot. They shoot themselves in the foot with this announcement. Because with this announcement, they can never again go back to that argument of saying, well, if Planet X was really out there, then all of these astronomers would have seen it by now. They can never go back to that. It's over. They kick the legs right out from under that excuse for telling us there's no such thing as Planet X. They have announced that they, with the Kepler telescope, have discovered a planet that is, are you ready for this, invisible. Not undetectable, but it's invisible. You can't see it. Now, this is not a planet in our solar system. It's far, far away from here. They have named it Kepler-19c. There is, of course, another planet, Kepler-19b, and another, Kepler-19a. According to Sarah Bullard of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, the only way that Kepler-19c can be detected is by its effects upon another planet, Kepler-19b. So 19c is having effects on Kepler-19b. They have announced its discovery definitively. It is there. But we can't see it. So with this explanation and with this release of information, they are admitting the presence of a planet in that solar system, far away from here, that cannot be seen, but its effects can be measured, and we know for sure it's there. All right, let's come back to our solar system. For the past couple of decades or so, our solar system has been undergoing some really strange changes. The entire solar system is heating up. Every planet in the solar system has been undergoing what here on Earth we have come to call global warming. Now, so far as I know, there is no human industrial activity or any other human activity on any of these other planets. So far as I know, and so far as you know, there are no humans on Pluto. It's heating up. So far as you and I know, there are no humans on Venus, but it's heating up. Same thing for Mars, Mercury, Uranus, Jupiter, Neptune. All the planets in this solar system have been heating up steadily and rapidly. And you have, those who have been listening to me on this show for any length of time, you've heard me ask the question of guess. Is it possible you have a very large body coming in towards our solar system? It's obviously pushing its own forces out in front of it. There's a bow shock wave out in front of it. It may have a magnetic field out there. It may have, that will have gravity. It may have an atmosphere. It's got a bow shock wave that it's pushing in front of it. As it pushes in toward our solar system, or pushes into our solar system, this shock wave of its forces absolutely has to have an effect on the forces of the other planets in this solar system. For instance, you have a magnetic field around Earth. There's an atmosphere around Earth. There are other forces around Earth. So here's this big bubble of forces around the Earth, generated by the Earth. This big bubble gets pushed on by a big bubble around this incoming planet. Now, I'm not suggesting that there is one close enough to do that to Earth yet. But you get the idea? It's got a bubble around it, and as it pushes through, it's got to make waves. It's got to make contact. Those forces have to make contact with the outer edges of the forces of the other planets that it's navigating through. Is it possible that something big is coming into our solar system, or has entered our solar system? Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my discussion about NASA shooting themselves in the foot. Now, look, this is pretty simple. They are saying they know for sure that planet, Kepler-19c, they're saying they know for sure it exists, and the reason they know for sure is because they can see and measure its effect on another planet. I am saying that. And they're saying that's an invisible planet. You can't see it. They haven't seen it, but they know for sure it's there, and they know for sure because they can see and measure the effect it has on another planet. And I'm saying the same thing applies to this planet X. And whenever they say, look, if there was a planet X, all of these astronomers around the world, I mean, there's professional observatories, there are high-level amateur astronomers. By high-level, I mean they're not doing it as something for a living, but they have training and they have excellent equipment, and, you know, it's not just a backyard telescope. But then you also have the rest of us, and a lot of us have backyard telescopes, and with all of these people observing the skies every night. If there was a Planet X out there, somebody would have seen it by now. That's done. Stick a fork in it. It's done. It's over. You can't use that as an excuse anymore. Because we can see measurable effects in our solar system. Effects of what? We don't know. But we can see that there are things happening in our solar system that are not what we thought were normal. Not what had been experienced for all of these centuries. And now, here, we're beginning to experience them. And we can see and we can measure those effects. But effects of what? Whatever it is. Apparently, nobody has seen it yet, although there are some people who say that Nibiru, or Planet X, has been seen and has been photographed, and that may be the case. That's still, in my mind, it's a bit debatable because I'm not sure that those pictures are properly identifying what they've seen, and I'm not saying they're improper. I'm just not sure yet. But the point is that the excuse is gone. I don't think NASA intended to do that. I don't think they intended to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't think they did because I don't think they counted on anybody noticing. And you would think with all the NASA computers that tune into this show all the time, they would have thought that I would catch it because I generally do catch things like that. But anyway, and maybe they intended it. That's another possibility. You know, NASA does some pretty curious things sometimes. You know, they've done some fantastic work and they've done some pretty shady stuff, retouching photographs and so forth. And it's not even debatable whether they airbrushed photographs. You can see where they did it. They did it so bad. You can see where stuff has been brushed out of pictures. But especially from the moon. You know, they do some pretty good stuff and they do some pretty rotten stuff. But I like to give credit where credit is due. And I consider this giving credit where credit is due by saying that there are a lot of people at NASA who think you do have a right to know. There are a lot of people at NASA who want you to know. And they are prohibited from just coming out and saying it. You know, they can let us in on things by doing things like this. Now, do I know that that's how this happened? No, I don't know that. But I would like to think that someone down at NASA looked at this and said, well, let's go ahead and make that press release. We'll go ahead and explain to people that we can't see that planet, but we know it's there because of its effect on everything. And somebody is going to figure out that applies to Planet X, too. So it could be that this was released on purpose for the purpose of somebody like me, and I know I'm not unique. There will be other people that will have noticed this. People like me will notice this and talk about it, and maybe that's what they intended. Maybe. So on the chance that that's the case, I want to go ahead and give them credit for that and give them some kudos for that. Because you see, you can't say that we know that planet Kepler-19c is there, because we can see its effect on another planet and we can measure its effect on another planet. We know it's there. You just can't see it. You can't say that about Kepler-19c and not have it apply to Planet X. It's not possible. It's not reasonable. It's not rational. It's not logical. What is reasonable, rational, and logical is if they can admit there's a planet they can't see, but they know it's there, and they definitively have said it is there, and they've given it a name, but they've never seen it yet. If they can do that in another solar system, then you can't back up in our solar system and say that doesn't apply. It does apply. Why would we not be able to see Planet X? Why would we not be able to see Nibiru if that's what this is? Well, there are a couple of reasons. If it is Nibiru, it would be, according to Sitchin, very, very dark. If it's Planet X, it may not actually be a planet, but a brown dwarf, which is darker than a red dwarf. And dwarf doesn't mean it's little. It just means it tried to be a sun, it tried to be a star, and it just didn't have the oomph to make it. I don't know if that's a good English word or not. Oomph, is that good? Well, anyway, you know what I mean. And just didn't have the get up and go to get up and go. And so it just kind of sort of started to be a star. But it's huge. It's bigger than Jupiter. Jupiter's the biggest planet in our solar system. And you know, if Planet X, as reported by CNN, they didn't call it Planet X. They said that it's a brown dwarf. And that it's at the edge of our solar system and moving this way. That was the CNN report, if I recall it correctly. Well, if it's a brown dwarf, it would be very, very hard for you to see it. Because there's visible light is not coming from it. What's coming from it would be infrared light. So you might see it with an infrared telescope. Radio signals would be coming from it. Not because there's an alien with a CB radio sitting on the surface of it, but because planets generate RF frequency. Stars generate RF frequency. You know, there's been a whole lot made of the fact that a group in California picked up and recorded RF signals coming from Comet Elenine. Some people think those are intelligent signals. But I've listened to it. I don't know that I would think those are intelligent signals. Maybe they are. But it's certainly not strange to have RF frequency coming from bodies moving through space. They do that. You can go on YouTube and you can find videos where you can listen to the sounds of Venus, the sounds of Saturn, and so forth. Those are radio signals that are just generated by the planet. Our planet generates them as well. And so there would be, if Planet X is out there, there would be some radio signals. Now, when we come back from this break, I'm going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to join me in thinking about and talking about this invisible planet or anything else that I've talked about. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and my sympathies to you for whatever kept you away for the first hour. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. For those of you in the United States or in Canada, please use that telephone number, all right? If you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, outside of the USA or Canada, you can call that number, or if you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you can use the flash message option on the website. Go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, you will see the flash message link. To the telephones and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I understand your logical argument about how the planet Kepler 19c is affecting 19b, so therefore it exists. My question to you is, other than the possible warming of all our planets, what are the other effects of Planet X that may be detected that would add to that argument that there is a Planet X?
Planets that have, well, first let me say this. I'm not saying that 19C exists because of its effects on 19B. NASA said so. Okay? That's what NASA says. All right? But in answer to what other effects, planets that have weather systems, for instance, Saturn, Jupiter, Venus, what they've noted is that those weather systems have become more intense. Sort of like right here on Earth. Our weather systems have become much more intense. When we have flooding, it's really a flood. When we have drought, it's really a drought. We have a hurricane or cyclone, it's huge. Same with earthquakes. We're seeing a whole lot more monster earthquakes. So every planet is experiencing that, especially, I say every planet, planets that do have weather systems that are pretty active, then they're experiencing a great deal more intensity in their weather. Another thing, the Kuiper Belt. Well, the Kuiper Belt, it's out there all the time. Why all of a sudden are comets being flung this way? What's pushing them out of their normal Kuiper Belt orbit and flinging them this way? A whole lot more within the past few years than, say, 10 years ago. Why? What's pushing it? One NASA scientist called this Planet X Nemesis. Gave it a name. Hasn't been seen yet, apparently, but gave it a name, Nemesis, and said it has been responsible for previous extinction-level events on this planet. And that was a NASA scientist. And I think that's probably what spurred CNN to do the report they did. But the point is, there's a whole lot more activity, there's a whole lot more intensity to the activity, and it's not happening just on one planet. It's happening on multiple planets, and the warming of the solar system is happening throughout the solar system. So that's a brief rundown of you know, what else is happening.
So you're suggesting that this could be one of the possible effects of Planet X?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it is for sure. I'm just saying something's causing it, and all that I'm saying about Planet X here tonight is two things. It certainly could cause those sorts of things and be invisible to us at the moment. And we know that because of this statement that NASA has released about this planet Kepler-19c. It's invisible. They can't see it, but they are absolutely sure it's there. They've named it. They've seen its effect on another planet. If you can do that in that solar system, that applies to this one too.
Well, I understand your logic, Kevin. And thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate the logic way you handle things.
Thank you much.
Bye.
All right, Jerome, thank you. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And, of course, if you're outside the USA or Canada, you can send me a flash message if you prefer. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Long time no hear, Kevin.
Hello, yes, it has been a long time. Amazing, amazing show tonight. And, well, you know, Kevin, you know one of my favorite acronyms, one of my favorite acronyms for NASA is, and that's never a straight answer.
Well, I think they give us straight answers sometimes. We've had that conversation. I think they also are not above giving us bent answers.
Yeah, I know.
Some, you know, what's interesting, let me give you an example. You and I have talked about this, but it's been a long time, and a lot of people, they're new to the show, they will not have heard this. If you go to NASA's website, and they've got all kinds of web pages. They've thousands and thousands and thousands of web pages. But you go there and do a search for UFO, and you will find an article on their website where they say that astronauts have reported unidentified objects during their space flights, and that these have been investigated by NASA. And here's the interesting thing. And in each case, they were deemed to be not abnormal in the space environment.
Amazing.
Okay, so that's a straight answer, but it appears they're saying there's nothing to this. But what they have just said is UFOs are not abnormal. Therefore, they are normal in the space environment.
They're not unidentified to them. They know exactly what they are.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a case where they give you a straight answer that bends your mind anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to the issue of this brown dwarf in our solar system, you know, there's so much, good scientific literature on the subject, from Richard Muller's book Nemesis to Andy Lloyd's Dark Star and to a whole bunch of other publications that point to the existence of this body, this massive body in our solar system that may cause cyclical disruptions on our planet.
Well, I have to say this: something's doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this stuff doesn't happen on its own. You can take Newton's law for every motion, there are for every force. There is an equal and opposite reaction. See, for every action, there's a reaction. Now, you can run that backwards. If there's a reaction, there was an action. What caused that?
And, you know, there's one of the, for those that don't have much time to do a lot of research, a good book, they could read that something did happen about 12,500 years ago, which may be related to this massive body in our solar system. Is called Watermark by Joseph Christy Vitale. It's a very, very good book. It's not very big. It's an amazing read that shows that something happened in our past, and other researchers have pointed out that this may be a cyclical thing, and that we may be feeling the effects of it today. Like you mentioned, all the earthquakes that we've been experiencing. We experience earthquakes all the time, but the magnitude and frequency of these high magnitude earthquakes, It's just too much to ignore.
Yeah.
And that, combined with the massive animal die-offs worldwide, combined with governments, the governments of the world have been preparing for disasters to happen for the last, 20, 30 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if the governments weren't doing that, I think all of us would have to look. If you just look up from the sidewalk once in a while, folks, and just notice what's going on around you, I think all of us would have to say something weird is going on here. And if there's something weird going on, that means something's causing that. Whatever it is that's causing it, even if we don't know what it is, I think you can see that it's reasonable and rational to understand that it exists. Whatever it is, exists. Something's causing it. These things are not happening accidentally.
Yeah, and the elitists of our society, they know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going down. And like the treacherous bunch of you-know-whats that they are, they're not letting anybody know about it. They've only prepared for themselves to survive, and they're going to leave the majority of people here on Earth, you know, to try and ride the storm, and you know, it fits right into their published agendas that they want a lower population. And what better way than let Mother Nature do it? You know,
Well, that brings up this question: If you knew for absolute certainty that at 1 p.m. tomorrow we were going to be struck by an extinction-level event asteroid, would you think that it's best to tell people or not?
I think the best way to do that would probably give some sort of... try to maybe a subtle warning to tell the people, you know, some... probably not giving the like, exact details, but warn people to prepare for some major disaster to come. Like not giving them exact details, because you don't want to cause a panic. You want to tell people, you know what, there's something that's going down. Here's the safe locations that you can go to prepare yourselves. At least prepare yourselves for some short term or long term survival. But you see, the media, most of the mainstream media, when it comes to people talking like that, they just laugh at them as a bunch of paranoid coots, and you know that's part of the entire plan. They don't want people to know what's going on.
And
people try to program people into thinking that everything's all right. You know.
Well, I don't know whether it would be right to tell people or not, but I personally think you have a right to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm going to be dead at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon anyway, why is it any bureaucrat or president or senator or congressman's business whether I panic between now and then? That's my business.
Like, you know, they could at least publish the papers. You know, they don't have to completely hide it or lie about it. They've been known to do.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Very interesting. Good to hear from you again.
Have a good night, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889. Planet X. Can I prove it exists? No, I cannot. I'll tell you what I can prove. I can prove that the fact we can't see it yet is a zero factor in whether it exists or not. I can prove that by using NASA's own statements. They said it. They are the ones who released this information about Kepler-19c. They are the ones who said, we can't see it. Nobody on this planet's ever seen it. It's invisible, but it's there. And we know it's there, and we've named it. We've confirmed it's there by its actions on another planet. Now, when you do that, when you say that, that's in another solar system way away from here, you make a statement like that, you got to know a few of us are going to figure out that applies to this solar system too, and things are happening in this solar system. The luminescence of Jupiter, I'm sorry, of Pluto, has increased by something like 30% over the past few years. The temperatures on Mars are rising. The temperatures on Venus are rising. Temperatures on Earth are rising a little bit. The whole solar system is... it's like it's been charged up with all this extra energy that's causing things to happen. Now, could it be that it's simply because we are passing through this galactic medium? Yeah, it could be. But I still point to NASA's statement. If they can be so certain that there's a planet in that other solar system that they can't see, and they're so certain it's there, they've given it a name, and they say definitively it's there. If they can do that with that solar system, it applies in this one as well. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, I just had 3 points.
Uh-huh.
My first one was, I think that when people talk about if they should know if there's going to be a planet buster, if there's something smart that's low level, you know, I mean, I understand how they hide things, but if it was all going to just be, you know, blasted out of the orbit within like an hour or a day, people deserve to know, because they can finish a lot of things in their life, like telling people they love you, or saying some things they want, or reflecting, or even, you know, thinking about themselves or other people, and I think that's very important. And the other thing is...
Before you tell me the other thing, I agree with
four
that.
Four different questions. Mm-hmm. The first one is it real? The second one is, how close is it to Earth with its trajectory? The third one is its mass and how big it is. And the fourth one is, everybody talks about all these things that have to do with the ancient past and this, but I think those are the primary questions that we should answer first. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Bob. Pardon me. Well, if I can get through these allergies. Thank you, Bob. Telephone lines are open. There are some questions about Planet X, or Nibiru, if that's what you prefer to call it, and many people do. There are some questions we need to ask about it. Is it real? I don't know that there is enough information available to say definitively that it is real. Now, maybe there is, and maybe I'm just not aware of it, but... Look, I'm well aware of a lot of the anecdotal information. I haven't seen any scientific information that nails it and says, that's it. We're not likely to see that either. You've heard me say from time to time, you know what? If somebody's cooking cabbage in the kitchen, you don't have to go in there and look into the pot to see if that's cabbage cooking. You can smell it all over the house. So, I mean, you know cabbage is cooking in the kitchen because you can smell it. There's the effect of it all over the house. That's the way a lot of this stuff with Planet X and Nibiru is. It's kind of like cabbage cooking in the kitchen. We haven't seen it definitively. There are, as I said, there are people who... have posted stuff on the internet where they say, here's a picture of Nibiru, that's it. Maybe, I mean, it's obviously something. Maybe that's Nibiru. Maybe that's Planet X. No one has been able to definitively nail that down yet and say, that is it. That's the one NASA knows about. That's the one. Nobody's done that yet. I can still smell cabbage cooking, can't you? You know, the whole solar system is feeling the effects of something, including our sun. You know, I left that out when I was talking with Jerome. The sun itself is doing weird stuff they've never seen it do before. What's causing that? Something. Something, for sure. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
And I have a story for you.
Okay.
I was in California about 25 years ago or so, and I asked a friend of mine to come visit me in Wyoming. Her response, I won't go anywhere I can't see what I'm breathing. So she sees oxygen.
No, she doesn't.
She sees smog.
She sees soot.
That's true.
You've never seen oxygen, and you never will.
Probably true.
Yeah. That's yeah, but you remember when I had that discussion a few years ago here on the show?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I got some pretty hairy email about that. People, and that was one of the examples that people were using. You know there's oxygen. Yeah. You can see it in the air. No, you can't.
You see the results of oxygen combined with other things.
Yeah, you see soot, smog, yeah, but you don't see the oxygen.
And you can smell ozone, but you cannot smell oxygen straight.
That's right. That's true. All right. What do you think about Planet X?
Well, if they say that planet, that whatever Kepler 19c was it?
Yeah.
If they say it's there, but they can't see it because it's invisible, who knows? Maybe Planet X or whatever it is invisible too.
Well, yeah, I just think that, you know, my point is that by releasing this information, and I'm glad they did, I applaud them for it, but by doing this, they have killed one of the major arguments that debunkers use against the idea of a Planet X. They just, NASA killed it.
Side and they don't know it.
Do what now?
Maybe they're on your side and they don't know it.
They may be. A lot of the folks at NASA are on the side of the people have a right to know. But they are working under some severe restrictions, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of those people want you to know. And they just have to be careful about how it is you get to know.
Go about the roundabout, go in the back door, as they say.
Yeah, and, you know, this story sort of has that appearance to me. I cannot say that for sure that this story was put out there for the purpose of, you know, nudging us toward, hey, you know, that applies to Planet X, too. Maybe they did, but I can't say for sure that they did. That is the effect of it, though. The effect of it is if it applies over there, it applies here.
They cannot have a double standard.
Well, they can try.
they do a good job of trying, I'll give you that.
Yeah, they do. Brent, thank you so much for the call.
Yep. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. That's the magic number. If you dial those numbers in that order, do you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you are going to be transported right here to the studio. 623-444-5889. I know you've got an opinion about this all across the United States, all across Canada, all across the UK, and I know there are opinions on this sort of thing in the UK because we have a flash message from Ross over there that we're going to get to on the other side of the upcoming break. All across Europe, all across Asia, all across Africa, all across Australia, everywhere there is on this planet, you have an opinion about this. We want to give you the opportunity to express your opinion about it. Now, your opinion may be there is no Planet X. I'm not arguing that there is. I'm simply saying that the debunker's use of that excuse that, well, why hasn't anybody seen it? That's dead now. Can't use that one anymore. That one is gone because of NASA's statement. We'll be back right after this, and we'll get this flash message from Ross right after the break.
Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking tonight about NASA shooting themselves in the foot, maybe on purpose, but I'll tell you, by releasing the statement they did about this invisible planet, NASA absolutely blew away any possibility of using that excuse that you can't see Planet X. Nobody's ever seen Planet X. All these astronomers all over the world looking into the sky every night, and nobody's ever seen Planet X. They blew that excuse away. Never can they use that one again without the entire population of Earth breaking into chuckles. but I think there's a possibility they may have intended that. All right, we have a flash message here from Ross in the United Kingdom. By the way, Ross, thank you for the flash message. Hi, Kevin. NASA never tells us that A exists or what it is, but they do tell us that C exists and that B is probably made up of XYZ. We always seem to have to join the dots ourselves. Never a straight answer, never a truer word spoken. best wishes, Ross. Yeah, Ross, you make a good point. NASA is not in the habit of giving straight answers. I will tell you this, though, that sometimes in a very convoluted, weaving, dodging sort of way, they tell you the truth, but they tell it in a way, sometimes, that makes it appear they just denied something. Like the story I was telling you about on their website. You will find that article. You have to do some serious looking for it, but you'll find it. That's where I found it, that astronauts have from time to time reported seeing unusual objects in space. These have been investigated by NASA, and in every case they have been deemed to not be abnormal in the space environment. Now, this is in response to a question that someone wrote in about what about UFOs and space flights. You know, haven't astronauts seen UFOs during their space flights? This was their answer to that. Okay, so we're talking about UFOs here. And their answer is, we've investigated them. And they didn't say they don't exist. Or they didn't say, well, in every case they've turned out to be lens flares on cameras, Chinese wedding candles, or even the Maryland National Guard dropping flares too close to the spaceship. They've never said anything like that. What they said was, we've investigated these and have deemed them to not be abnormal in the space environment. So they're not saying they're not there. They are saying that it's not unusual to see them there. It's not abnormal. But you get the impression that they've just denied it when, in fact, they've just admitted it. And that's on their website. So sometimes, Ross, sometimes they take a circuitous path to getting the answer to us. There are times when they, in my opinion, are outright deceptive. Now, that's just an opinion. See, I think it's, you take pictures of the surface of the moon, and there are these tall towers and huge buildings, and you airbrush those out and then release the pictures. I mean, the airbrushing was done in such a horrible manner that you can see. I mean, they're blurry. It looks like the ink was still wet on these pictures, and somebody took an eraser and smeared the ink. I mean, it's really, really a bad job. So there's no question whatsoever that they have done that. Well, I think that's deceptive. I do, and that's something that's part of that nonsense NASA needs to give up. Give it up, okay? I mean, we've got your number. We've got you tagged. We know exactly what you're lying about. So give it up. However, there are also a lot of things that they do tell us, and they do it in such a roundabout, circuitous manner that it comes out sounding like they just denied something. When in fact, if you analyze what they say, they've just admitted it. And I gave you an example of that. So, never a straight answer. I will buy that. As long as that we understand that doesn't mean they always lie. It's just sometimes the truth comes out to us all bent up. They do tell us the truth on a lot of things, but they bend it before they send it out to us. All right, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. It's a magic number. If you dial that into your little device called a telephone, it will magically transport you here to the studio, and that's a good thing because then you can express what you think about all of this. You know, I think NASA has shot themselves in the foot with this no-fly zone on the moon, too. I mean, really. By releasing three photographs, and they say these are the sharpest photographs ever taken of these landing sites, Apollo landing sites. It's Apollo 12, 14, and 17. And they say, so this should put all the conspiracy, the hoax, moon hoax conspiracy theorists, this ought to just put that to rest. Well, yes and no. I mean, if you heard the show that I did on that, first of all, people who are in the it's all a hoax, we never went to the moon because the pictures are fake. If you're in that group, you know, you're assuming that because the pictures are fake that the mission was faked, when in fact the pictures could be faked in order to hide what the real mission is. If you're in the group that says, well, we couldn't get there because of the Van Allen radiation belts, go back and look at the publicly published trajectory, escape trajectory for Apollo when they leave the Earth. They're at a 30-degree incline from the equator that takes them up over the radiation belts, and they drop back down towards the moon. They didn't fly through the radiation belts. They flew over and just kind of skirted the thin outer edges of the radiation belt. So, you know, will it put to bed the theories that it was all hoaxed because the pictures appear to be hoaxed? Yeah, it puts that to bed. But you heard me say, I think there's every possibility NASA was behind starting that hoax anyway to keep you from ever focusing on the idea that the pictures were hoaxed to keep you from looking at the real mission. I can't say they did it, but somebody did it and did a darn good job of it. And so now we have a baby with the bathwater. Now we've proven that the astronauts were there. Therefore, you can get rid of all that moon hoax theory. Well, it was the wrong theory anyway. It was a bogus theory anyway. But can we pretty well show that some of those pictures are hoaxed? Not all of them, but can we? Well, yeah, I think so. I think it's been shown pretty well that some of those are hoaxed. And then the question, why? Well, now that they've released these very clear pictures of Apollo 12, 14, and 17 landing sites, now that those have been released, and they say, well, there you go. You see, that puts it to rest. Wait a minute. Time out. Where's 11? Where's Apollo 11? The pictures of that. Of course, we know 13 didn't make it. Where's Apollo 15 and 16? Where are those? Well, we just haven't released them yet. That may be the answer. We just haven't released those yet. We've got them. We're going to release them. Or the satellite hasn't photographed those yet, but we're going to. There's some answer. But when they put the no-fly zone on it, don't land. If you do land, don't walk any closer than, and I think it's 275 meters, about a quarter of a mile, something like that. And it's a no-fly zone. Don't let your satellites get down below a certain level when you're flying over these areas. So they're telling all the other space agencies, we don't want you to let your satellites get down below a certain altitude when you fly over these areas. Because, you know, we don't want to contaminate this with rocket fuel. What do you, NASA, come on, NASA. What do you think you did when you blasted off from there? When you when the astronauts blasted off from the surface of the moon, they didn't use rocket fuel? And then when you look at the picture of Apollo 17's landing site, look at it carefully. Look at it. They have marked on there a track that they identify as those are the astronauts' footprints. If you can see footprints from space, you've got a damn good camera or you've got some huge feet. One or the other. So we can see those footprints. I'll give them that. We'll say it's footprints. I'll give them that. It's footprints. They say that's the astronaut's footprints. Look over at the other extreme side of the picture and you see where they have it marked. That's the lunar rover vehicle, the LRV. We used to call it the moon buggy. There it is. That's its final resting place. Now, look at where the landing module is. Look at how far away that lunar rover is. You can barely make out some rover tracks. And there's no footprints. If you park the rover here and you got to go here, you parked it way over here on the right and you got to go way back over here on the left to get in your spacecraft and blast off and go back up to meet Apollo capsule. That means if you left the rover over there, you had to walk back. Where are those footprints? And then when you zoom in and you take a look at that rover, it looks like it's been bombed. You can't even recognize that it is a rover. However, when you zoom in on the landing module, on the base that's still left there, you can tell that you're looking at a piece of machinery there. You zoom in, you can see you're looking at a piece of machinery. When you look at the rover, you can't. Try it. Try it yourself. It looks like it has been bombed. If it's a rover at all, it's destroyed, and I mean completely destroyed. And there's no footprints going back to the lunar landing module. So when they say this is going to put to bed all of those wacky conspiracy theories, au contraire, you just created a bunch more NASA. You shot yourself in the foot. And you added to it by putting a no-fly zone on satellites going over these sites. You don't want people to get down there close enough to get any good pictures, do you? Why? We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion of NASA shooting themselves in the foot. And again, I give them credit for that. I hope they did it on purpose. Certainly, the one having to do with the planet Kepler 19c, that one I think is possible. They did that on purpose. I'm not sure that they intended to shoot themselves in the foot with the pictures about of the landing sites of Apollo, various Apollo landing sites. I'm not sure they intended that one to come apart, but it has come apart. The wheels are off of it, and now there are more questions than there were. We have a flash message from Telly in Austria. Mr. Smith, if there are no footprints from rover to spaceship, what do you conclude? Why you think it was bombed? By who? Well, the only thing I can conclude, if there are no footprints from the rover back to the spaceship, is that they didn't walk. So how did the rover get where it is? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's possible that they turned it on and headed it away from the spaceship and just let it drive till it died on its own. That's a possibility. I don't know. But what I conclude is, if you're telling me that I can see these marks right here, those are footprints of the astronauts, and I can see that over here, you're telling me that those are footprints that are seen from the satellite. How is it we can't see footprints over by the rover? There aren't any. So if there aren't any, somebody did not walk there. Okay? So that's all I can conclude from that. I don't know what... I have no idea how to interpret that. But if there are no footprints, there were no foots. Bad English, I know. But if there's no footprints, there were no foots. They didn't walk from the rover back to the spaceship. Plus, it makes no sense, does it, Telly? It makes no sense that you would get in the rover and drive way away from the space capsule and then have to walk back in order to get in and take off. It makes no sense. Why would you do that? But if you did do that, you had to leave footprints, right? And if your footprints over there can be seen from space, don't tell me your footprints over here on the other side cannot be seen from space. There are very faint tracks. Now, if you look at all the rover tracks that are in that picture, there's a bunch of them. You look at the rover tracks that are in that picture, they appear to be very dark, very definite. But you look at where the rover is, where they say that's the rover and that's its final resting place. You have to look very, very carefully to see very faint tracks coming from that rover back to the lunar landing module. Very faint. That sort of indicates it was lighter. It wasn't as heavy. It wasn't making as deep a track. Is it possible it was unmanned and set on autopilot and they just headed it off over there to get rid of it on its own? Possible. It would appear those tracks are not as deep by a long shot. They're not as deep and definite, and there are no footprints. But then the question is, why does that rover look like it's all blown up? And as a matter of fact, you can see black all around it. And there's nothing about it, when you zoom in on it, there's nothing about it that looks like a rover. Nothing. I will accept that that's what it is. No choice, really. They tell me that's the rover. Okay, that's the rover. But now we look at the area around it. It looks like an area that got hit with a bomb. And there's nothing, there are no pieces identifiable that look like a rover. And there's no footprints. Just very, very interesting. Why do you think it was bombed? I'm just saying it looks like it, Telly. To me, if that's the rover, it is in a very destroyed state. A massively destroyed state. And by who? Who did it? I have no idea, Telly. I don't know. No idea. But the only conclusion that I draw from this is, if I accept that those are footprints on the left side of the picture, where are those footprints on the right side of the picture coming from the rover back to the spaceship? I don't know. Are these pictures hoaxed? I don't know that either. And I'm not implying that they are. But there's something about those areas that NASA does not want other nations' satellites to get too close to. There's something about those Apollo landing areas. NASA does not want other space agencies to fly too low. And they've given the reason that these are monuments. That's not much different than Spanish conquistador stabbing the ground here in America with a flagpole and saying, "I claim this in the name of the king." That's not much different. And, you know, the only reason I can think of that makes any sense for why they don't want the other nation's satellites to get too low, the only thing that makes any sense at all, is there's something there they don't want them to be able to see. And it has to be small details. It's got to be small details they don't want them to see. That was not a problem when they left the moon because nobody else was just, well, the Russians. The Russians and the Americans shared almost all their space information, even though we had a Cold War going on. Worked together on space projects, even during the Cold War. So, but there was no chance India was going to fly over and find out. There was no chance Japan would, or that China would. No chance the European Space Agency would. They didn't exist then. India didn't have a space agency then. China wasn't sending anything to the moon then, nor Japan. Well, now a lot of people are sending stuff to the moon, and NASA's asking them not to fly low over these sites. Why? Well, the reason they give is they don't want it contaminated with fuel droplets. And I ask again, come on, NASA, who was the first person to light a fire in the back of a bird and take off from the moon? Who was the first person, who's the first agency that contaminated those areas with rocket fuel droplets? If you were really there, and I accept that you were, it was you, NASA. You were the first to do it. So nothing makes sense about this, unless there's something they just don't want people to see. Well, I hope you have enjoyed the show tonight. I certainly have. I've enjoyed being back at the microphone. I don't like it when I have to be away from the mic. I've enjoyed being back, and I've enjoyed your calls. I've enjoyed the flash messages that we've received, and I hope we've given you something to think about. One thing I really want to refocus on in these closing seconds, if Kepler 19c can be said to actually exist even though they can't see it, then their excuses about Planet X are gone. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.